Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts. My name is Father Robert J. Carr. I am the administrator of St. Anthony Parish, and I welcome you to our broadcast. I also invite you to be part of our parish. We're located at 43 Holton, H-O-L-T-O-N Street in Alston, Massachusetts, and we have Mass every single Sunday, or actually weekend, 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturdays, 10 o'clock a.m. on Sundays. So come join us. We also have Mass in Brazilian Portuguese at 8 o'clock a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. Well, this is the third week of Lent, and you have just heard the readings for this past week. We're going to take a closer look at them. Specifically, we want to look at the woman at the well. This is an important focus for us to understand as we continue through our Lent. So we look at what we heard this past Sunday and move forward. It's an important story for us, and it allows us to understand a lot of things about our faith. Now, the Samaritan woman at the well is found in the fourth chapter of John, verses 4 through 26. And if you know this reading well, you know it's one of the longest readings in Lent. And I know of some places that have at times, and I've done it even when I was a deacon, acted out with people this particular reading. But let's look at what this reading has to offer us, because it gives us a powerful lesson on how we actually are called to evangelize and live our faith. First of all, Jesus and the apostles are in the Samaritan territory. Now, the apostles have gone out to buy supplies, so it's now Jesus alone, and he is at the well. He's sitting there at the well. What we know is that it's midday. It says it right there in the gospel reading. And it's midday. Of course, in places like the Middle East, in other parts of the world, in Africa, in South America, midday is very hot. And so a lot of stuff that's done during the day is not done during the midday because it is so hot. I know when I was in Ecuador, in midday was a very hot time. And of course, when I was in Ecuador, by virtue of the name, the Ecuador is towards the equator. But it's in that tropical area where it gets hot during the day. Obviously, it's cooler in the morning and at night. But when we're right, when the sun is right overhead, obviously that is the hottest time of the year. I had a really wild experience in the Philippines. I've never seen this anywhere else, where just before the sun rose, it seemed to get very cool. And then the sun would rise and would get warm again. It was almost like the sun was drawing all the energy out of the earth in order to come up. It was the only time I've ever experienced that. So temperature plays an important part of how we experience our world, even though we don't always notice the temperature, but we are going to move and act in ways regarding how we are fitting with our environment because of the temperature. So the woman is coming out to the well, and it is midday, and she is alone. Only Jesus is there. Now, we want to understand that John is showing us this story. He's not so much telling us. He's not saying, well, she came out at midday because this is the scene. Almost like it's a movie camera. This is the scene. And we have to put the whole scene together ourselves. So what he says is that it's around midday. Now, she comes to the well. Well, the obvious question has to be, why is she the only one there? And many people have told us the reason is, just as I said, it's hot. But the reason why she's there is because everyone else doesn't come there. And we understand through the story why. She's on her sixth husband. So she's probably being ostracized by the community. Now, you've probably seen how this works. This doesn't really work where the person comes out and everyone starts making fun of her or whatever. But it's that silence when maybe it's possible that as she appeared. And this is the way it's important to put together any Bible story, to kind of think the whole scene through, to kind of picture it and put all the details that are not written down, putting in the humanity, and so we can have a better understanding of the story. So there we see, here she is coming out, She is alone, as I said, and she's probably gone through this ostracizing by the rest of the community. And again, the worst part of that may not be when someone says something to her, like, "Oh, how's your sixth husband?" And they all laugh. It's the looks, the rolling of the eyes, the not saying anything. Maybe two of the women could be washing their clothes or getting water out of the well, not saying anything, and they give that look. And you all know what I'm talking about. They don't have to say anything. They're doing that nonverbal communication that says everything they want to say of how much they reject everything she stands for, but they don't say a word. But you know that people feel that. And you know she's probably felt that. They may not have said a word, but she feels that rejection. Have you ever been in the situation where you walk into a room and maybe people are angry with you and they don't say anything, but you can feel their rejection? So imagine that scenario, that she comes out in the morning and all the women are there, and it doesn't have to be women, but obviously at this case, that's what happens. So, I mean, men do this too. And she comes to the well and she can feel that rejection. So kind of throw that in, kind of become part of that. If you really want to experience the Bible well, you want to put yourself in the story enough so that you can even sense the feelings that are going on. So here she's coming during the daytime because she doesn't want to go through that. She might have only been through it once or twice. She might have been through it every day for 10 years. We don't know. But she doesn't want to go through that. And so she comes during midday when no one else is there. So now we got the scenario. It's hot. Jesus is sitting on the wall of the well. The woman comes to gather water because that's the time she can do it without feeling that rejection. She's a Samaritan. The Samaritans are kind of, best way to put it is almost like a break off of the Jewish community. And it wasn't that they chose to break off. There was the Assyrians came in, and in doing so, in their conquering, they ended up separating the Samaritans from the Jews politically and, I believe, physically. And in doing so, the Samaritans developed their faith without connection to the Jewish community, and so they developed separately. And now that they can be united, their separate faith becomes a source of tension. And so they have doctrinal issues, and they have, you know, the Jews don't think that the Samaritans are worshiping with the purity against idolatry that the Samaritans are worshiping. And so you have this tension between the two, and the tension grows. So the Jewish community is rejecting the Samaritan community, and so that tension is there. And Jesus is a Jew, and she recognized this. You are a Jew. You are a man and a Jew, and here you are speaking to me, a Samaritan woman. And so we see that action happening. But she comes to the well, and before all that, he's there, and he says to her, "Give me a drink." I want you to recognize the importance of this encounter. Before anything happens, this is important. Now, understand that Jesus could have showed up in the morning when he knew everyone was going to be there and said to the women, "Give me a drink," and they would have probably been either happy to do it or saying, you know, "We don't give water to Jewish men." It could have been one way or the other, but he could have come at that time, but he doesn't. He comes in the middle of the day, and he comes specifically to her, who is considered a great sinner. How do we know that? Because Jesus mentions it, and we'll talk about that. So he goes to her specifically. All of this, you'll see, comes together. And we're going to see this actually tomorrow, because this is going to be like a two-parter. So here he says to her, "Give me a drink," and he opens that door to this conversation with her. Now, she could have completely ignored him as well, but the conversation begins. And when it begins, it moves into the whole concept of living water. Notice how he does that. He starts with this living water. And in doing so, he leads her to, number one, ask for this water, which opens another door. But in doing so, he's now able to open what he needs to open that she may experience the living water. Notice what he does. Go call your husband. I have no husband. You are right in saying you have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. So now it's six. What's he doing? You notice at no point he condemns her. He just very basically says, I know. And that I know can mean a lot of things. I know that you are not living as you should be living, even according to the rules of the Samaritans. I know that you are not living in a way that's accepted by others. I know that this is weighing upon you, even if you don't acknowledge it. I know that you may be being exploited by now your sixth husband, as you were by the previous five. I know all of this, and I've come here to address it with you. But none of this does he say. He just simply says, I know. You're on your sixth husband, and I know you've had five. We're going to continue this tomorrow as we look towards the whole week. And tomorrow we're going to continue in discussing how this applies to us. In the meantime, remember, we are here every single day at 3 o'clock p.m. on WROL, 950 a.m. and 100.3 FM. You can also find us on the web at saint, anthonyalston.org, and you can find us through saint, anthonyhomilies.com. In the meantime, enjoy us listening to this broadcast, and come be part of our parish on weekends at 43 Holton Street in Allston, Massachusetts. And have a blessed week, and make Lent count.